107.5 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Iran is responsible for the hacking of the Trump campaign to try to influence it, say officials in U.S. intelligence agencies. Just ahead of the Democratic Convention's first night in Chicago, optimism from Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin.
This is the pro-freedom party, it's the pro-choice party, it's the pro-democracy party, and we're not going back to the days of insurrection and corruption and government based on the will of one person.
The number of protesters growing outside the convention site, the United Center, dozens have broken through the outer security perimeter, but no violence. Burning, sending thick black smoke over the area, a Russian oil facility in the Rostov region after being hit by a Ukrainian missile yesterday morning, says the regional governor, who says dozens of people and rescuers were hurt. Ex-New York Congressman George Santos pleads guilty to wire fraud and identity theft. Years of prison time expected. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden speaks to the DNC and the nation tonight. Governor Evers praising Biden at the convention in Chicago earlier today.
It's bittersweet, absolutely, but he deserves every plaudit that he's getting, and I'll be there supporting him tonight.
Evers says infrastructure improvements in Wisconsin could not have been done without Biden. While the DNC is in Chicago, there'll be plenty of political activity in Wisconsin this week. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate Tim Walz will hold a rally in Milwaukee tomorrow night. Also tomorrow, Republican running mate J.D. Vance talks about crime and public safety in Kenosha. The latest Marquette poll says the presidential race in Wisconsin is a virtual tie. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Washburn County man has been arrested following a fatal UTV crash over the weekend. According to law enforcement authorities, the accident occurred on Schrider Road in La Follette Township on Saturday night. When authorities arrived, they found the two occupants trapped under the UTV, which had rolled over in the crash. 52-year-old Jennifer Kopinski was pronounced deceased at the scene. 56-year-old Richard Thone was taken to a hospital for treatment before his arrest. Authorities believe alcohol was a factor in the crash. FEMA has opened an in-person disaster recovery center in St. Louis County to assist residents who suffered damage during severe storms over the summer. According to a WDIO report, the disaster recovery center will be located in the county's public works facility in Virginia, and staff will be able to help residents apply for federal disaster assistance, answer questions, and connect them with other types of help. Federal assistance is available to residents to cover things like temporary housing and home repairs. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers sweep the Guardians. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 2-0 shutout of the Cleveland Guardians that completed a 3-game sweep, winning their fifth in a row. Colin Ray pitched a no-hitter through 5 2/3 innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's just been an incredible anchor. You know, he really has. He gives you it every time out.
The Brewers GM Matt Arnold telling reporters he and Murphy met last week with Christian Yelich to convince him it was time to consider back surgery.
A couple days ago, Murph and I met with Yelich to talk about what was going on with him in his rehab. Pretty honest with each other about kind of where he was, the hard work that he's put in, and I've seen him, I've watched him work hard on what he's doing in the weight room, everything to come back, and unfortunately it just wasn't working for him.
NFL, the Packers lose to the Broncos 27-2 last night in Denver.
Well, that was a long night. I was hoping that our guys would come out with more strain, effort, grit after kind of getting humbled the other day in practice, and then to have it happen again, not where we want to be.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny, pleasant, and high in the mid-70s tomorrow. Increasing clouds tomorrow night, slight shower chance. Then back into sun in mid-70s Wednesday. Right now it's 80.
2 hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Paid for by Wisconsin DOT.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There you go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're live on location for the Democratic National Convention here at the United Center in Chicago. Great guest, Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
an incredibly difficult inflationary period, one of the ways that you help bolster and build an economy are these massive infrastructure investments, not just in the state of Wisconsin, but throughout the upper Midwest, Pennsylvania included, Ohio, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, and including places in the Sun Belt, of course, Arizona, Nevada. That helps stabilize the economy, preserving the independence of the Fed, their quantitative easing, and looking at what is next and keeping the Fed independent. That was a commitment Joe Biden made. It's a commitment that Vice President Harris has made for her administration. All of those things are crucial. Refocusing not on tax breaks for billionaires and the most profitable corporations, but on what's going to work for the middle class. That was Joe Biden's priority. I think from his COVID policies to his infrastructure investment, his investment in small businesses, and including Black-owned businesses, just absolutely stellar performance by Joe Biden. We have much to be thankful for, as well as his passing of the torch with both dignity and selflessness. I couldn't agree with Governor Evers more.
I also spoke with a number of young people who are feeling pretty energized by the turn of events and Kamala Harris's nomination. And I guess now that we are turning the corner, so to speak, now, what kind of energy are you seeing from the new ticket?
Yeah, just walking around in the United Center, Terry. First of all, I was at the RNC. I spent a goodly amount of time in the Fiserv Forum. It feels different. It is different. And I'll say this, it looks a hell of a lot different. What you see represented here is an incredibly diverse group of Americans, not just racially, but from all different backgrounds. We've got Reverend Jesse Jackson on the stage right now at the DNC. This is America. The delegates reflect America. I've seen differently abled folks, you know, all being accommodated, the environment of welcoming, of belonging. And I will just say this about the protesters, and I said this on my show, the Democratic Party has always been a big tent party, and that means we will have policy disagreements. We will have those discussions. We will have those arguments. These are critical times, and people come to the table with all kinds of perspectives. And pressure should be applied on elected officials and candidates. That is part of the democratic process. But that means that those of us that believe in the project of peace, that care about human rights and dignity, we're here to make clear that there's one candidate in the fall. Again, my opinions, not yours, Terry. You're the newsman. I do the commentating. but yeah, it is different in every conceivable way and on every axis here. And it is a damn party walking out there, just walking around the bowl in the throughway where people are excited. It's jam packed. People are jubilant. The vibe is electric and certainly very different than what I observed at the RNC.
What would you like to hear from Joe Biden tonight? What would you like to hear him say?
I would like Joe Biden to be very clear about all that he's accomplished for the middle class. I think Joe Biden should take a victory lap. And then I think he should very clearly pass the torch and give his most fully throated endorsement of Vice President Harris and Governor Walz. I think observing the historic nature of this moment, we have a woman who is of Black and Asian descent, a woman again vying for the highest office in the land, the leader of the free world. Joe Biden helped make that happen. And I think being in the moment of what this means for this country and the potential for this country to turn the page, to return to normal, but also to lean into the promise of what tomorrow might mean for the middle class and for groups that have been historically underrepresented in the halls of power and influence. The time has come. And the fact that, let's be clear, an older gentleman passing the torch to this younger woman of Black and Asian descent, that is indeed historic. What a moment.
And symbolic indeed. Thank you, Maggie Dawn, Terry Bell, Civic Media. We'll be back with much more right after this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260 WLAK Amory.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to Civic Media special coverage of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, a recap of day one. A lot to talk about, but we have Joe Osland. He is the communications director for the Wisconsin Democratic Party, to talk about how the day got started. And it started with a surprise appearance by running mate Tim Walz speaking to the Wisconsin delegation, the delegate breakfast. And that's a tradition at Republican and Democratic conventions, where delegates from each state gather for breakfast each day, hear from speakers, and set their game plan for the day. And Joe, tell me how this all came together. Everyone seemed pretty surprised by Governor Walz's appearance this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you, I found out about 10 minutes ahead of everyone else. I always tell folks whenever there's big news that I'd usually find out the same time everyone else does. So I found out, you know, this 10 minutes ahead of time, said, hey, the governor's stopping by, and it was a great stop. I mean, it was quick, and he just stopped in and said hello. And I think really hit home that this is a joyous campaign. It's a campaign about, you know, what's good in all of us and what's good about America. And that was his message to us, was just, let's keep up the good fight. And, you know, as Wisconsin Democrats, we're big happy warriors. And just like in Minnesota, the same thing, you know, it's the Midwest. So that was the message he drove home for us, and we're happy to have him.
The answer to this question is going to be pretty obvious, but does this sort of thing just underscore how important Wisconsin is to the outcome of this election?
I mean, it absolutely does. We've got a great lineup of speakers all week, and I think that, you know, speaks to the truth that, you know, the road to the White House runs through Wisconsin, absolutely. But I think with Governor Walz, too, I mean, he is somebody that we know well in Wisconsin. We know him as, you know, our neighbor, and especially out west in western Wisconsin. You know, there are folks out there who get their TV out of the Twin Cities, and they see him every night on the news. So it speaks to the importance of our state, but also, you know, he's our neighbor. And I think he just wanted to stop by and say hi.
And you mentioned...
So Midwestern, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Just popping in, say hey to your folks.
Unannounced, which is incredibly Midwestern.
Yeah, there you go.
Minnesota being a neighbor, as you mentioned, you know, Wisconsin Democrats have made much of Governor Walz's accomplishments, especially in the last legislative session. I would hear Democrats all the time compare, you know, the way Wisconsin approaches a policy to the way Minnesota approaches policy. And I was wondering if you could touch on a little bit of, you know, what they're doing in Minnesota that that you particularly like.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that sticks out to me is, you know, free school lunches for kids in school. And as someone who grew up, you know, the son of a public school teacher and a high school principal, you know, that's really huge to me personally. I think, you know, kids getting a good meal every day and not having to deal with the stigma of, you know, everyone just lines up and gets their food.
Yes.
It's, you know, not a big deal, and it makes a difference in the learning that they're able to do every day. They're not going in with an empty stomach. And I think, you know, that policy is about something bigger, which is, you know, this idea that we're decent to each other and that we treat each other the way that we want to be treated. That is a reflection of how I personally was raised. I think a reflection of, in the Midwest, the values that we share, that, you know, we're going to take care of each other and make sure everybody's got enough to eat, because it's not that big of a deal to just extend that hand and to offer that up. So I think, you know, that's what sticks out to me. And hopefully, you know, we can get that going here in Wisconsin with these fair legislative maps that we're running on in November to bring some more common sense and decency into Madison.
Yeah, it's about time.
Absolutely. Yeah, past time.
Coming from the governor's mansion, there has been decency and care for others.
Absolutely.
But things like school lunches, you know, that you mentioned, Joe, should be entirely uncontroversial. This should not be difficult. This should not be partisan. And yet it is. And what I'm really excited to see is that Wisconsin Democrats, we're going to try to take back our legislative branch, which has been, frankly, not representative, I think, of either the values of Wisconsinites or Midwesterners in general, and certainly not reflective of simply the voting percentages as we see across the state. What's key for Wisconsinites coming up to this November election when we look at the Wisconsin State Legislature? What should be top of voters' minds, in your opinion?
I mean, for Democrats, I would say we got to do the work. We got to get out there and organize and turn out the voters we need. But I think for Wisconsinites across the board, I think the real key thing to keep in mind is you know, who do you want there in Madison working for you? And we've seen over, you know, the last, 4 or 6 years of Governor Evers' term, we've seen him, be a really great backstop and a goalie to some of these crazy things that Republicans are pushing down in Madison. And I think it's time that we, you know, again, bring that common sense and decency to the State House. And, I would really encourage folks to take a good look at kind of what Republicans have been up to over the last 13 years of being completely insulated from any kind of accountability from voters because the maps are gerrymandered. They've never had to worry about, you know, running in a fair race And they've been able to get away with a lot. And I think, you know, part of what I'm working on and my team is working on is making sure people are reminded of the excesses of the last, you know, 13 odd years of you know, craziness, and, you know, recognize that this is, you know, Republicans have been in control of a legislature dominated by special interests, by, you know, these wealthy corporations. We're running to turn that all around and to get some of that decency back.
Well, I think your point's really well taken, Joe. When I've gone down this road with a number of my friends who tend towards the right end of the spectrum, and that is gerrymandering actually runs contrary to the idea of compromise and functional government. Because if
Absolutely.
A district is gerrymandered all the hell so that the elected official doesn't have to worry about running in the general, it tends to push people to extremes. Instead of requiring people to actually argue about policy and frankly be accountable to voters for results, it becomes so much about rhetoric, not results. We've seen that in the House of Representatives on the federal level, certainly in the Assembly in Wisconsin. I think Wisconsinites want normal back. They want functioning government. And that requires elected officials that are accountable, as you say. The one example that I always point to over these 13 years, we could name policies for hours, Joe. But the one thing I point to is that the Republican-controlled, the MAGA-controlled legislature during COVID didn't do anything, didn't gavel in for 300 days as Wisconsinites were dying. When you look at sort of examples of the bad results of that gerrymandering, what are the things that you want to make sure voters remember rolling into November?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a whole host of things. I think it is, some of the stuff they've done around giving tax breaks out to these really wealthy people.
Yes.
If you make, you know, multi-millions of dollars and you get this huge tax break, that's money that then is not available to help out everybody else, the rest of us, with stuff like, you know,
child care,
exactly.
The basics.
Yeah, and child care is a great example of where, you know, they've really been out to lunch. And as a result, you know, we've come really close to the child care system in Wisconsin not being able to keep, you know, doors open and stay afloat. And luckily,
I like to say free lunch and free breakfast for kids, but no free lunch for the billionaires, millionaires,
exactly,
and richest corporations.
Exactly. Yeah. And with childcare, luckily the governor's been able to step in with assistance to make that happen. But, you know, we need a permanent solution.
Joe Ausland, thank you so much for taking time for your busy schedule to speak with us tonight. I know you have a lot to attend to, and we really appreciate it. I'm sure a lot of people are interested in your work in Wisconsin, especially here at this convention and where Wisconsin is playing such an important role. Joe Ausland, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks,
Civic Media's special coverage of the Democratic convention continues right after this.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats are targeting 16 assembly races and 5 state Senate races in November. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hasselbein says voters are fed up with inaction on issues like PFAS cleanup.
We're letting everybody know that we have a plan in place. There's $125 million that we should be getting out the door to help these communities and the people that live there, and the Republicans refuse to do so.
The Wisconsin Democratic Party says it's prepared to spend millions to get its message out. Wisconsin doctors may start testing babies for a rare and fatal brain disease called Krabbe disease. The federal government says states should be testing. 12 other states screen newborns for Krabbe, but the State Journal reports that Krabbe tests can produce false positives, and some doctors have doubts about treatments. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has scheduled a public meeting to discuss the Bong Bridge Improvement Project. According to a press release, DOT officials will host the meeting at the Superior Public Library on Wednesday, August 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. The meeting will cover proposed improvements to the Bong Bridge connecting Superior to Duluth, including concrete repairs, sealing the bridge deck, and replacing light bases and poles. The planned construction work would result in some lane, ramp, and sidewalk closures. A popular park in Duluth held a celebration of art this weekend. According to a Northern News Now report, art in Bayfront Park took place on Saturday and Sunday, giving artists from across the region an opportunity to share their work with the community and connect with potential customers. Over 150 artists were invited to take part in the event. The event also featured the Twin Ports Music Festival during the celebration. The art on display featured a variety of mediums, from painting to jewelry to ceramics and more. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Bob Odenkirk and Bill Burr have been on their share of stages, but both will experience a first when they head to Broadway next spring. The actor-comedians will join Kieran Culkin on Broadway and Glengarry Glen Ross. If you haven't seen the 1992 film written by David Mamet based on his play of the same title, it's worth a watch. The story is set in a cutthroat Chicago real estate office. Burr will be in the Dave Moss role, played by Ed Harris in the film. Culkin will play Richard Roma, who is portrayed by Al Pacino, and Odenkirk takes the role of Shelley Levine, the character played by Jack Lemmon. That's one to see. If Taylor Sheridan has writer's cramp, he is great at hiding it. He's written yet another Yellowstone spinoff that's headed to the little screen. The show Madison will star Michelle Pfeiffer as the female lead. She will also executive produce. Madison follows a New York City family as they adjust to life in the West. Rumors are that Kurt Russell will also join the cast. Madison's previous title was 2024. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny, pleasant, and high in the mid-70s tomorrow. Increasing clouds tomorrow night, slight shower chance. Then back into sun in mid-70s Wednesday. Currently at 77.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for the Devil's Advocates. We're here in Chicago. The DNC is the occasion. All the political stars will join us at the table. Devil's Advocates, you gotta listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to Civic Media's special coverage of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. I'm Terry Bell with Maggie Dawn, and we bring now with us on the program our panelist, Matt Rothschild, analyzing today's events. Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Progressive and the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, thanks for being with us tonight.
Hey, my pleasure, Terry, and hi, Maggie.
Hey, Matt, good to see you.
Absolutely. Likewise. So, Matt, tonight is Joe Biden's night, and I was wondering what thoughts you had about Joe Biden's legacy.
Well, I think he has a great legacy as that transitional figure he promised us he would be. I mean, he's done a very good job as president, a much better job, actually, than I thought he did, a much more progressive job, especially domestically. He handled the COVID epidemic extremely well, especially compared to his predecessor. He got their economy off its feet. I mean, the economy was, you know, needing smelling salts, and he got the economy back up on its feet and running strong. He did a great job with, getting the bridges and the roads and other infrastructure stuff going. And let's not forget Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Jackson. She's just been a huge addition to the U.S. Supreme Court. So those are just, you know, a few of his accomplishments, but I think he's going to be remembered most of all as this figure who warned us of the huge risk that Donald Trump posed to our democracy, did the country a tremendous service by beating Trump 4 years ago, and then did the country another service right now, this year, by stepping aside. And I hope what we'll hear in his speech tonight is not just a recitation of his accomplishments, but also underlining, underscoring the risk to our democracy that Donald Trump still poses, and actually poses even more than he did last time around. Because this, after all, is truly why Joe Biden ran for president in the first place. And he knows this and feels this strongly in his bones. I also hope that the lingering bitterness that Joe Biden felt in being, you know, edged out here doesn't show its face tonight, and that he really embraces this role as the transitional figure and just admits that he carried the ball as far as he actually possibly could. And now it's time to hand the ball off to another person who is, you know, frankly, more capable than he is at this point in his life to move the country forward. So I'm listening for those notes tonight.
It's an interesting point, Matt. I'll just jump in. Terry asked me the question earlier, and I talked about him taking a bit of a victory lap of passing the torch, but hearing you lay out what you expect to hear, I would also echo and double down on the fact that Joe Biden can say things because he isn't running anymore, right? He can make a really aggressive, he can go on offense, if you will, when it comes to Donald Trump and, frankly, my language here, the MAGA cult, the threat that Project 2025 poses, not just to democracy, but the baseline functioning of the federal government. I think your point's very well taken, Matt, in that Joe Biden can go on offense. And hearing you mention that, I agree. I hope to hear that from him tonight as well. Excellent point, Matt.
Thanks.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
No, you go, Terry.
No. I think we're experiencing a bit of the lag of the technology. So you were going to make a point.
No, I just wanted to say again that, I think Biden can make the case that Donald Trump, wants to do away with the Constitution, wants to be a dictator on day one, as he said. Yeah. And he can do this in a way that Kamala Harris doesn't really want to do. She doesn't want to stress that threat. She wants to be the positive person, the future-oriented person, the don't turn back person. But I think you know, Biden can say, look, if we turn back, look what we're going to get. And so I think he, more than anybody in the country, is perfectly suited for that role. Tim Walz doesn't want to do it. And by the way, did Tim Walz bring a casserole over to the Democratic group from Madison, Wisconsin, in the state of Wisconsin today when he stopped by? I thought that was hilarious.
It was 9 in the morning, so it might have been earlier. For maybe
been an
a
egg
sausage.
If you brought one, right? And it would have been the Midwestern thing to do. You never show up empty-handed.
That's an interesting point you make, though, Matt, is that usually it's the president who's the statesperson, right, and the vice president is the attack dog. We're seeing those roles reversed this time.
Yeah, I think the sitting president, Joe Biden, is the one best situated, even more than Tim Walz, too. Tim Walz is well situated also, but he wants to stress the forward looking also. And not going back stuff. And I think he does a great job at that. And both of them, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, want to paint a positive future. You know, not going back. I hope they add something to that, at least in Kamala Harris's speech on Thursday. No, we're going forward. And then the chant is forward, forward. They don't have to give us royalties here in Wisconsin for chanting forward.
I was
going to
say, our state motto, yes, indeed, forward.
Now, so Joe Biden, the big story today, the other story happening today, the protests outside of the United Center area. And Matt, I was just curious to know your feelings about, you know, the intensity, the size and the scope of this, you know, the voice that's been given to these critiques of government policy.
Well, I'm glad they're out there, frankly. Too, am horrified by the policy of the Netanyahu government of Israel engaging in a grotesque form of collective punishment on all Palestinians. And so I do think the time for protest is now. It's good to express your moral outrage. It's good to, it's crucial to do it nonviolently, as almost all of them are doing. I'm glad they're getting their message out on this. I hope they don't disrupt the convention. I know that Kamala Harris has been more outspoken than Joe Biden about the cost that Israel's attack on Gaza has been waging, and that the cost is astronomical. And so I'm hoping for a ceasefire. I'm hoping for a change in U.S. policy toward funding Israel, especially militarily, at a time when it's engaging in these horrific acts. And so my sympathies are with the protesters, but my brain tells me that, look, Kamala Harris is going to be a much better advocate for peace between Israel and the Palestinians than Donald Trump would be.
Yeah, Matt, that's been my theme when I address this topic on my show, and that is, if you are for the project of peace, if you believe in human dignity, if you believe in the United States' role as a leader to forward the project of peace, to protect human dignity, there can simply be no reasoned debate that Kamala Harris is the only one of the two options for the president of the United States that will move us closer to those ideals and potentially open the door to significant changes in U.S. policy. If you wish for that door to be shut and shut firmly and for 4+ years, you vote for the other guy. But if you want things to get better, if you want every bit of diplomatic and potentially financial and economic pressure to be brought to bear on the situation in Gaza, again, there isn't a choice. There's only one candidate. And I hope that meta picture doesn't get lost. I also continuously say, Matt, we're a big tent party. We're going to have fights. We're going to have disagreements. That's what makes better policy. And that happens in the Democratic policy. It doesn't happen in the cult.
Yeah, and we're seeing the big tent party tonight. We're seeing, yes, Hillary Clinton. We're seeing AOC. I mean, that's quite a spread. And I think that was really wise of the organizers to show how broad and large and all inviting this tent is. I mean, it was 4.5 years ago when AOC said, you know, if we were in Europe, I wouldn't even be in the same party as Joe Biden. And here she's speaking to the convention when Kamala Harris is going to be the nominee. I think that's very exciting.
Couldn't agree with you more, Matt. It is a moment. It is a historical moment. And again, I keep telling people, listen, you want to have these kinds of debates. You want to have these kinds of arguments. Arguments had in good faith with feet firmly planted on terra firma. In reality, there's one party, there's one candidate, and there's one place where those debates are held. And it ain't the cult. It's the Democratic Party, and it's at the DNC.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about a Palestinian or a Palestinian state for that matter.
Indeed.
Let's take bring the focus domestic again, and what sorts of things do you expect to see coming out of the convention that are, you know, affecting folks here at home?
Well, you know, just on atmospherics, I'm hoping that they keep bringing the joy, that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz keep making politics fun and exciting and exhilarating even for so many millions of people, especially on the Democratic side, but also that this positive spirit will infect people in a positive way who aren't already affiliated with the Democratic Party, that independents and moderate Republicans and, you know, women in Waukesha and Sheboygan and Mequon and Tosa will see something that they can, you know, if they don't agree with all the positions and the platform of the Democratic Party, that they say, look, these people are sensible. I can recognize them. Tim Walz looks like my neighbor, acts like my neighbor. We want to go forward in this country. We don't want to go back. Enough of the Donald Trump name calling and petulance and craziness and narcissism. So I just think ride this wave of joy and exhilaration as far as you can take it. I think that would be great. And then, you know, here in Wisconsin, you know, help out, help Tammy Baldwin win again. Tammy Baldwin actually might help Kamala Harris win here in Wisconsin, to be frank with you. Either way, it would be good. We've got some congressional seats that are really contested now. And there is the possibility with the maps not gerrymandered like they used to be that we could have a real change in the state house in control of the state assembly and the state senate. So all that is so very exciting for those of us interested in politics here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, it does seem that style matters just as much as substance in an election. And it seems to me that, you know, this ticket is winning the, you know, who you'd like to have a beer with debate with the voters out there.
I think it's,
and, you know, for instance,
Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, for instance, Kristen Lierley up in the 8th Congressional District up in the Northeast, you know, she has that same demeanor. She has that same elan, that same spirit of optimism and hope and openness and friendliness. I just think that's a winning way to go as opposed
and
to
how
gloom
about this?
And doom and name calling.
Yeah. A bunch of no BS. When I look at Peter Barca, Kristen Lierley, oh my gosh, who's the Dem that's running in the third CD? I'm blanking.
Rebecca Cook.
Thank you, Rebecca Cook. What I look at when I see these candidates is no BS. I see people that have a genuine concern for their fellow person and that speak in reasonable, understandable specifics and that really, again, have a commitment to their constituents. I look at those three congressional races in the state of Wisconsin. I look at the Baldwin and then the carpetbagger from California. I look at all of those races, and I think there's going to be an incredible amount of energy in the state of Wisconsin come November. I expect Wisconsin to show up really big because what Wisconsin likes is normal. And the reason that we know that is that Wisconsin has voted not once but twice for Tony Evers, who ain't a stylish politician. He's not a rhetorician. He's a regular guy, and he comes across like that every time you hear an interview or see him. In Wisconsin, we like normalcy. We like kindness. We want people that are going to get things done. I'm really excited about November.
And that's Tammy Baldwin to a T also. Yeah, Tammy Baldwin to a T.
Absolutely.
You know, normal, get stuff done, friendly. She's not an orator either. I mean, she doesn't get up on stage and burn the barn down with, you know, her extemporaneous speaking skills. But she's an incredibly decent person who goes all over the state, meets with people in the business community, in the nonprofit community, everywhere. And anytime anyone meets her, they like her because she's so damn likable. And compare that to Hovde. I mean, I think she's going to win hands down here.
So much more to talk about on Civic Media special coverage. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a bit about some of the parallels between 1968 in Chicago and 2024. Some of them kind of comical, some of them a little bit eerie, but it's something that people are talking about a lot this year, and I'll have a few examples that I want to share for you after we come back from our break, after Civic Media continues with our special coverage from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Don't go away.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. How we think about money can affect how we feel about ourselves, which is why I think it's worth reminding all of us that your net worth is not your self's worth. Your net worth, however much money you do or don't have, is not your self-worth. Money is not something to be worshipped, regardless of what the internet or social media tells us. And money is not something to be ignored. I mean, I've been there. I've not paid attention to my money. And let me tell you, that doesn't help either. Money is a tool. You can learn how to use it, how to make it work for you, how to take care of it, and how not to let it control your head or your heart through obsession or worry. We can all be good at managing our money. If I can do it, anyone can do it. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Listening to Civic Media's special coverage of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. I'm with Maggie Dawn of The Maggie Dawn Show. And our analyst tonight is Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Progressive and the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And I just thought this was kind of interesting when I was doing my research for tonight. I stumbled upon a lot of parallels between 1968 and 2024. Here we are in Chicago, and the convention of 1968, the Democratic Convention, one of the most infamous in modern American history, known very largely for its protests, and that's happening here. But that's not the only parallel. Both 1968 and 2024 saw new Planet of the Apes movies, Summer Olympics, and U.S. moon missions. Back in April, a historian, Keith Orgel, summed it up on a post on X. He said there was widespread anti-war activism in both years. Somebody named Robert Kennedy was running for president. And just like President Biden did, Lyndon Johnson back in 1968 announced that he would not be seeking the presidential nomination. So we can't help but talk about these things when you're in Chicago for a Democratic convention. And so I just thought those, I don't know, some interesting things, Matt.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the disaster. I sure hope it's not going to be the disaster that was the Chicago convention. I remember watching that. I was 10 years old at the time. We were watching it in our little TV room. My parents were real political. They were kind of Adlai Stevenson Democrats and civil rights activists. And just couldn't believe the police violence there, the complete uncalled for abuse that the police were meeting out against the protesters. But part of that was a class thing. You know, middle of Vietnam War, these police officers, some of their brothers or sons were going to war in Vietnam, and a lot of the protesters were getting deferments, and there was resentment that way. And also you had Mayor Daley, who was quite different than Mayor Johnson, who I just heard speak earlier this evening, who spoke really well. I remember Mayor Daley actually issuing a terrible anti-Semitic slur against a U.S. senator who happened to be Jewish, who was criticizing the Chicago Police Department for its police violence. So I don't think we're going to have any of that. We have the understandable protests about Gaza, which I support in my heart, and I just don't see we're going to see the police react in the way that they did in 1968. So I think this is going to end up going real smoothly, and that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz will continue to ride this wave of enthusiasm, which is too mild a word. Exhilaration might get closer to it.
Unmitigated joy, I'd say. We here at Civic Media are really excited to bring on a special guest, Matt. I'm with Dawn Huckelbridge, head of the Paid Leave PAC. Thanks so much for stepping in to join us, Dawn. Paid leave. This should be an easy one, shouldn't it?
It definitely should be, you'd think, right?
Yeah. Such a difference when it comes to these fundamental common sense ideas that serve working families and middle class families here in the United States. So common sense, and yet such a difference between the choices facing voters this November. What do you think voters need to know or be asking, not just of at the top of the ticket, but also down ballot in their congressional races? Every member of the House up for election this fall. We've got a ton of members of the Senate. So basically a big toss up about who's going to control our federal government. And this has got to be an issue at the top of the list for every American family.
You're exactly right. It's been really exciting to see Vice President Harris and also Governor Walz talking about this being a top priority. You know, should we have a Democratic governing trifecta, the first thing they want to get done. We came within one vote in 2021, basically, of getting it done. But it will take that trifecta. It will take us winning up and down the ticket. And I think it's really important to know that paid leave is one of the most widely supported policies in the country. It is a winner across walks of life, across demographics, across party lines, because every single one of us is going to need to give or receive care in our lives.
Yes.
We're going to either have an aging parent, or we're going to get ill or injured. We're going to have a child. So this is a universal need. It's not a niche issue. It's not a social issue. It's an economic imperative. And we know that if we pass paid leave and really common sense things like childcare, that it would lead to millions of jobs, billions in wages for working families, and hundreds of billions in just new economic activity. So I've just been thrilled to see this being treated as sort of the mainstream central economic agenda that it should have always been.
I call this the no-duh agenda.
Exactly.
And even for those that are the most ardent capitalists, I'm so glad, Heather, that you're making the point that this is good for business because it's good for workers, it's good for working families. People are much more likely to stay in a job that employers have paid to train up folks if they can get paid leave. And as you say so aptly, Heather, every single one of us will provide care to an aging relative, a child. We ourselves may need to take medical leave, and the Federal Medical Leave Act just doesn't get it done. What good is leave if you're not getting paid?
Right.
Can't go broke that way.
Exactly.
You double down with medical debt being the number one reason that American families end up in bankruptcy, and we're right back at the point that this is good for economic growth because it's good for American families.
Absolutely. And we know from the private sector and states that have passed paid leave that there is that positive return investment, that they're not turnover costs. They retain talented workers, exactly as you said. And what we're proposing, this federal policy, wouldn't even just be a mandate on businesses. They wouldn't have to be paying just totally out of pocket. This would be a federal program that would help businesses, particularly small businesses who can't foot these bills out of the pocket. So this is a win-win, as you said. It's common sense. It should have been passed years ago.
Dawn, when you're making the paid leave case, you know, are there any anecdotal stories that you're telling people about, you know, the situations that people find themselves in through no fault of their own you know, could be better off with a policy like this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think anyone listening, you have these stories, right? There's going to be someone in your life who's going to get ill, who's going to need care. I mean, I often say I personally was one of the luckier ones because I had a little bit of paid family leave. I had health insurance. I had a supportive family. But it still was an absolute shock to my system how hard it was to become a parent in America today, even with all of these privileges and resources. And we know now that many people don't survive that process. We have one of the worst maternal mortality rates in the country. We have horrible postpartum depression. There's so many ways that paid leave would help whole families and whole communities. And I think a lot of people are suffering. Their stories aren't being told. So I hope more people listening will share theirs too.
There's a lot more to talk about. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Don Heckelbutch, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thanks so
Maggie
much.
Don and Matt Rothschild, thanks so much for Aaron Sommers back in the studio. Also for Corey Hartman and Chris Casper here in Chicago. I'm Terry Bell. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 10:33 from the DNC. Hour number two, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, now an official candidate. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.